Hey, if you're enjoying the Potty Slam podcast and you want to support us, check us out on patreon.com/BeerCityMediaPodcasts. Now into the ring we go. My listeners.
Wow, that one even came with a hand gesture.
It did. You power up and then you let it go.
Nice.
Konnichiwa. You're listening to Potty Slam, a wrestling historical podcast where we talk about the locker room and beyond. April is joining us as usual.
Yep.
Josh is here.
¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien. ¿Has tú?
Taco Bell.
Sí.
And Ryan is joining us.
I am. I showed up.
You did.
Late as usual.
As expected. Now, that's fine. At least you showed up.
Yeah.
So this week I have a profile, I guess. You know, I like to break down people. This it started out as kind of a story and went into a profile of somebody.
All right.
A name you may know. He doesn't get the same heat as his writing partner, but he is also very involved in one of maybe the most despicable storylines in WCW history. Edward Ed Ferrara was born November 22nd, 1966. He's an American former professional wrestling booker, writer, and agent for the WWF and WCW, often working alongside his co-writer, Vince Russo. Ed Ferrara began working in television production and writing, contributing to shows such as Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the TV show.
Wow.
Ooh. And Weird Science. So that's where he got his start.
Nice.
Was actually writing on real television shows. Now, Ferrara was also a wrestler in Slammers Wrestling Federation, known as Bruce Bodine. And he most recently has worked on the creative team for TNA, Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. Now, Ferrer and Russo began working for WCW. They worked in WWF. We know the Attitude Era, and he was part of that. Even though Vince Russo gets the majority of the praise for that, his partner was, of course, Ferrara. So they began, like I said, they began working for WCW in October of 1999, and they placed themselves within the on-screen product of WCW. They thought, where else should writers be but on the television screen?
Mm-hmm. Which, if done right, can be fine, but it's like, you're not there to be the performer. Right.
Mm-hmm. He was a performer, but he isn't anymore.
Right.
You know, you should know your place. So they migrated their style of writing. They migrated their style of writing from the WWF, except now they don't have Vince McMahon to kind of be the filter. Matches were shorter in length. Speaking segments, both inside and outside the ring, were more prominent, and a far greater emphasis was made in pushing mid-card wrestlers to the point that everyone on the card had a gimmick and or storyline. Check out NWO, and everybody had some sort of NWO, Latino, NWO.
Again, I get it. I get what they were going for.
They just didn't have Vince McMahon, and I know everybody.
Yeah, that's
didn't have the guiding hand.
You don't need to have guiding light storylines happening with every single person.
Right.
Right. Successful products of their initial 10-year at WCW included Screamin' Norman Smiley, 3 Count, which was popular. Mm-hmm. The reinvention of the Outsiders, you know, Hall and Nash.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The Mamalukes, Psycho David Flair.
Oh,
which,
oh boy.
The Revolution, The Filthy Animals, and Chris Benoit's main event push, among others. There were some storylines that did not necessarily go over the fans the way they had wished, including Buzzkill, The Maestro, Buff Bagwell, and Medusa winning the Cruiserweight title.
Hmm.
Buff Bagwell, he was a thing at that point.
He was. Mm-hmm. He was the stuff.
Yeah.
Their initial stint was epitomized by their reintroduction of the NWO after months of storylines, which ultimately saw Bret Hart win the world title at the expense of his nemesis Goldberg. However, both Bret Hart and Goldberg got injured a few days prior to a major WCW pay-per-view. WCW later reformed a booking committee, which consists of former bookers, including Kevin Sullivan, Kevin Nash, J.G. Dillon, and Bob Mould. This would also mark the beginning of the end of the friendship between Russo and Ferraro, who both took opposing positions. Russo refused to work in the booking committee as he felt he was jobbed out by the backstage politics of the company, while Ferraro decided he would stay on as he had just relocated his entire family to Atlanta. So he felt compelled to continue his work as a writer. And you don't think about these things, that these people literally will have to, you know.
It makes sense to me. I'd do the same thing.
This would be the last time Russo and Ferraro would willingly work with one another in a wrestling environment until they reunited in TNA years later. Now, the success of the booking committee was limited at best. Ratings had plummeted, and WCW was in a state of disrepair. It was in a tailspin at this point. Mm-hmm. The new committee also led to the mass exodus of the most promising mid-card wrestlers in the company. This is when Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero, and Perry Sandard all walked out of WCW. As Kevin Sullivan stated, he had no plans to use them on programming again. He didn't see a use for two guys who would become future WWF champions, mm-hmm. Hall of Famers for sure.
Yeah.
He saw no use for him. Kevin Sullivan, who was a very good booker, but this is where that rumor that Kevin Sullivan had Benoit killed.
Yeah.
This is when.
Seek out episode 100 for exactly. That full story.
Because mm-hmm. Benoit and Kevin Sullivan's wife got a little friendly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And Benoit did end up marrying her, so.
Yeah.
Now, it was rumored that 17 wrestlers had asked for their release that night.
Wow.
But only 5 of them got their successful release, and this included Shane Douglas. But then he would return by April of next year back to WCW. Yeah. Within 2 months, the booking committee was disbanded, and in a desperate attempt to salvage their ailing product, WCW hired back the two men who they thought could help their product. Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff. This led to Ed Ferrer getting demoted to a road agent position, basically a producer, a segment producer. He did voiceovers that played over the intercom when non-English speaking LaParca was doing interviews, often getting LaParca in trouble with his opponents with the comments he created over the intercom. Borderline racist.
Oh,
classy.
Another storyline that didn't go over well with fans was, and this is the one I'm talking about, the big one, Ed Ferrer's controversy parody of WWF commentator Jim Ross, in which he took the on-screen name of Oklahoma and began parodying Ross with his belt palsy condition, even going as far as to mimic the affliction.
I forgot all about that.
And for good reason, it should be erased from your memory. No, that was not the first time he had done it. He did it in, I want to say it was 1999. On a WWF Heat, Vince McMahon. God. This is when Vince McMahon was kind of growing tired of JR. And so he mimicked his Bell's palsy on the air. So it wasn't the first time, it wasn't done on WCW. It was actually done in WWF.
I'm going to give you $500 cash for you two doing a great impersonation of Jim Ross. Go ahead.
Well, it looks like business is about to pick up here.
Man!
I said it's a slobber knocker, but I can't say my S is too well. Yeah.
Well, we got in Dr. Death, the five-time All-American from Oklahoma, who wants to come out here. He's going to put the mask on. Is this any way for the creative geniuses here in the WWF?
I'll tell you what, this guy's
an All-American.
No,
that's
so mocking a guy who has paralyzed face. not good.
Nah. We would never do that.
We would never mock people. That's not what we do. Maybe on another show on this network we might, but not on this one.
Not on this one.
We're too serious on this one, damn it.
Oh boy. He had previously done an impersonation of Jim Ross in WWF. That was with Tiger Ali Singh. where he called from the audience as a fan and did his Ross impression. Jim Cornette would later spit in his face and challenge him to a fight.
Good.
For making fun of his longtime friend. And we will get to that because I ain't just going to scratch that itch. I got to go all in. And he also was the person who defeated Medusa for the cruiserweight title. Now, at Ferrara, we considered himself the heaviest cruiserweight in the world because he weighed about 300 pounds. Yeah. So let's completely mock the all the cruiserweights.
Right.
Mock the entire division.
Pretty much. I mean, you've just shot down an entire division of wrestlers now. Oh, boy. So Cornette's primary beef, though, with Ferraro by far was his portrayal, of course, of the Oklahoma character.
Timothy McVeigh.
Wrong Oklahoma character.
Wrong Oklahoma. Yeah. Explosive, but not the correct one. Of course, he mocked his condition in one of WWF scripts as well. Cornette was and is still a close friend of Ross, and both date back to their days working for Bill Watts in the early 80s, and each has incredible respect for each other. Cornette felt gravely insulted by Ferreira's actions, as did everyone else who watched it. Fast forward to 2002, when Jeff and Jerry Jarrett started NWA TNA. The Jarretts were unable to get television, so they instead ran weekly pay-per-view events on Wednesday nights. And against Jerry's wishes, Russo was brought in to book the promotion, Vince Russo, since Jeff was inexplicably a big supporter of his. Of course, because that was his writer when he was Double J at WWF. So Russo was brought in to book the promotion since Jeff, well, like I said, Ferrer was in TNA as well. As initially, and as TNA recreated much of the bad booking and gimmicks that killed WCW in the first place. So here you bring in the guys who killed the last promotion, and what do you think is going to happen? So in May, indie promoter Burt Prentice booked a match in Nashville between local legend Jerry Lawler and Dusty Rhodes.
Ooh.
It was either the first or one of the first instances in which the two genuine American wrestling legends would ever wrestle each other.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
When was this again?
2002.
Wow.
Remember, Jerry Lawler had his own promotion and then went to WWF.
That's right.
Yeah.
So even back then, even with the traveling, they just never really ran into each other. So both were long pair surprises, but it was still enough of a big deal that it drew one of the larger crowds for Prentice when it was booked. And took place on June 1st of that year. Prentice taped his events and used Scott Hudson and Jim Cornette as his announcers. Ferrero was also going to be there as a favor to Jerry Jarrett, who wanted radio personality Don West to do a tryout as an announcer with Ferrara and Borash, Jeremy Borash. 3 days before the show, Prentice told Cornette that Ferrero was going to be there and begged him not to start any trouble. Because Cornette had a history of threatening physical harm upon those that he didn't like.
Still does.
Namely Bruce Mitchell in the early 1990s. Prentice didn't want Cornette doing the same to Ferrara. So at first, Cornette considered not even going to the show because he knew he couldn't control himself. So he's at least self-realized.
True.
But he was such a fan of Lawler that he really wanted to see him wrestle Rhodes, who Cornette had great respect and admiration for, despite his disagreements with that the two had in WCW. That's Cornette and Rhodes. They didn't exactly...
The fact that Cornette could like kind of let that one slide is... The fact that Cornette could let anything slide is...
I didn't say let it slide. He ended up promising Prentice he wouldn't start any fights. So the show went as planned. On the day of the event, there was already rumblings backstage of a possible confrontation. Prentice assured everyone that Cornette had promised him nothing would happen, and Cornette joked about it too, implying he would keep his word. Ferrara then arrived and shook everyone's hand, including Cornette's. The two then had a side conversation that started out calmly, but quickly escalated. It wasn't so much that Ferrara argued back, but more Cornette working himself up more and more as he began to tell Ferrara how wrong it was him to poke fun at Ross and his medical condition. He said it was mean-spirited and petty and had nothing to do with the product, and that palsy almost cost Ross his job that he loved more than anything. Because remember, they took him off television for quite a while after that. Soon he started cutting a promo on Ferrara and came out with the obscenities. And then out of nowhere, he spit in Ferrara's eye.
Oh, God.
He got mad and asked Cornette, what was that for? Cornette responded, that was for good old JR. It got very tense and Cornette asked him, did you have a...
Oh, I was just curious. And I don't know if this is going to be something that you bring up, but did Jim Ross ever comment on...
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get right to that too. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Because like through all of this, like I've been wondering, like, well, was Jim Ross pissed? Like that he did the impression.
Good old JR. You can draw the line.
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
Okay.
It's just something you go, oh, JR.
Yeah.
It got very tense. And Cornette asked him what he was going to do about it, and then challenged him to go outside. Ferrara likely didn't want any of this and knew that engaging in any physical with Cornette would cost him his job that he was trying out for. Luckily, nothing happened beyond that, as others were there to calm things down. It was described as not quite a pull apart, but as close as you can get. And perhaps it would have if others hadn't come to calm things down. Years later, Cornette was asked about the incident and replied, I saw him in Nashville in 2002. I promised the promoter I wouldn't punch him, but I didn't promise I wouldn't try to get him to punch me first. I told him that I thought of what I thought of him for doing that JR, and I spit in his face in front of 30 witnesses, and the gutless pussy did nothing.
Wow.
That's what he deserved for making fun of a near career ending disability suffered by a guy who has more talent in his finger than Ferrara has in his entire body. He should have never been allowed in our business in the first place. If anyone sees him, tell him Jim Cornette still says he's a gutless sack of shit.
Wow. Well, all right then.
I love that. That was a great diss.
Yeah. Because he did. He spit in the guy's eye and he still, I mean, if a guy spits in your eye, you got to swing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just have to, because for self-respect reasons. Now, Ferrara appeared on Ross's podcast well over a decade since the Oklahoma angle. And there was no heat between the two after all. Ross is a very forgiving person and doesn't want his live his life holding grudges. Cornette, who isn't forgiving, seems to love holding grudges. Later worked with Vince Russo and TNA. When Cornette severed ties with TNA, he went back to saying hateful things about Russo again. Hmm. Now, what Cornette did to Fur was, it's unprofessional. And even if he hadn't promised Prentice anything, his behavior is uncalled for.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he did give Prentice his word that only made the situation worse. But I get it. That's his friend. And he made mm-hmm. fun of him on national television for having an affliction.
Right.
Yeah. You don't do that.
And professional wrestling is just a weird world anyways.
That's true.
The rules don't really apply, as we found out when Dr. David Schultz slapped the taste out of, what's his face's mouth?
The
TV news guy. Announcer. Yeah. Yeah.
Kurt Jennings.
Sure. Also, Ed Ferrara was one of the bookers and writers for the Brawl for All.
Really?
That was one of his first jobs in WWE.
Oh, boy.
Makes so much sense now.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't it, though? So there you go.
Oh,
Oklahoma.
Man.
One of those blips on the radar that really resonated with people in a bad way.
I remember now, like, I'd completely forgotten about when he mocked JR for that.
Mm-hmm. To me, it felt longer, but when I dug into it, it was just a small little time mm-hmm. section of time that he did this.
Mm-hmm. Weird.
It makes you wonder, like, was he just doing his job? He was just doing what he was told to do.
He was the writer.
But I guess, well, in WWE,
he was doing it under Vince told him to do the impression.
So in that case, I mean, that's kind of on Vince too.
Yeah. Oh, there's no question that's tasteless. But that's why I brought it up to let you know that it's also, you know, Vince also did. Oh, my goodness. April has poured.
The bed is upstairs, so it's okay. I've been there before. That is officially an entire.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Let's give them something to slur about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I love my Aluma Mommy.
I've had almost an entire bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm. She will after that.
Sure will.
That is for sure.
Feel fine. Eye hurts. Other than that, feel fine.
So like Ryan said,
something to talk about.
Yep.
Something to talk about.
It's been a big week.
Lots marriages. Of
yeah.
Yeah. Yay.
Weddings. Come on. You're just stop being a sour patch.
Well, Finn Balor got
sour
married.
Sour patch. Stop mm-hmm. being a sour patch.
Becky and Seth got engaged.
Okay.
Dean Ambrose, I'm sorry, John Moxley has MRSA.
Right.
So I don't know. Is he?
He's supposed to be the all in this weekend, but mm-hmm. will not be.
No, he's definitely now all out.
He's Pac and whoever he was supposed
Kenny
to be.
Kenny Omega.
Wrestle. Yeah. I'll be watching that.
Nice.
I got invited over to a supervisor's house.
We were invited to that. What day is that again?
31st.
Just happened to throw.
Wait, that's not on a Sunday, is it?
It's a Saturday night.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that'll be a good match with Kenny Omega and Pac. That's good. But yeah, I mean, Moxley did say that he's having surgery because you don't fuck with MRSA, man. That's a flesh eating disease. So it's in his elbow. He's getting it removed, and he's saying he's going to be recovered by the time TV starts.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, at the very least, to get on mic, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Right.
All right, Zelda's here.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
So she's given a. I mean, do we have anything else really to?
Nah, I can't. Nothing I can think of.
Yeah, that's what Zelda says. Okay, bye.
Sit on my tailgate, got the panhandle state on my license plate, pack up everything and hit 75, head straight down to Texas where the party is live, got my boots on tight and my buckle strap, cinch shirt smelling good, now I'm sliding now, pants creased, now I'm hopping out my dually truck, rodeo with Craig Jackson, man that bar is tough, calf rope and pony express riding bulls and stuff, and you know me, I'm sitting clean with Jack in my cup, I'm from Oklahoma.
This has been a presentation of Beer City Media.